8:06, Mobile Mornings on this countdown to Christmas Friday. Dr. Bill's got rain in the mix for this weekend. I'm sorry. I wish there was a way to spin it differently. Because, you know, often you'd be like, well, it's going to be bad in the morning, but it'll be nice in the afternoon. At least what Dr. Bill's saying is get ready for those showers through the weekend. Oh, the nice thing is, Dalton pointed out, use this as your win. I tell my kids all the time, it's just rain. Mm-hmm. As long as there's not lightning. I said, it's just rain.
Yeah.
All right? So
just wear a poncho.
Or poncho, rain jacket, but poncho is good for you. Wear a poncho, get out there, and like Dalton said, those of low constitution may not be out shopping, which makes it a little bit better for those of us that might have waited here till the end to get our Christmas shopping done. So that's we'll talk more about that coming up with Dr. Bill in just a little bit. Also, thinking about shopping, I've got my Locals Only Christmas list I've been talking about. I'll get more information later this hour about that. And I started thinking about this with the Locals Only Christmas list. You put in the mix there on the Locals Only Christmas list. Tickets to the Senior Bowl.
Oh, yeah, for
it'd,
sure.
It'd be a good fit. I want to talk about this, and then you talk about the actual football part with Jim Nagy from the Senior Bowl. Hey, Jim.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Morning. And I want to say, before I know you and Dalton are about to get into the real football meat of this, but before we do, I saw the story yesterday with the big announcement about the musical entertainment at the Senior Bowl. I love this band, the Revivalists out of New Orleans. Y'all got them booked.
Yeah, we're really excited. We're going to have the first ever Senior Bowl Street Party on Friday. Never done anything like it. You know, we're just really trying to build this week out. So not only reinvigorate, the Mobile area about our game, just pump some more energy into the local base, but also make this more of a national destination for people to come in from all over the country. You know, maybe I've said it on your show, maybe I haven't, but just being up at the draft last year in Nashville and seeing the 600,000 people that, you know, flooded Nashville, it was a real eye-opener. And again, I feel like our event is an even better event than the NFL draft. We've got a lot more to it. But what they did, you know, they just made it a party. They had a lot of adult beverages and a lot of live music, and people came. So this is really our first attempt at it. We're going to have a Mardi Gras parade with the players.
Mm-hmm.
At 6:30 on Friday night, they're going to be in it with all the mascots and bands and cheerleaders from the two teams that are participating, and they're going to be throwing autographed footballs to the kids and whatnot. And then it's going to end in Cathedral Square. We're going to march up Dolphin Street, end in Cathedral Square, and then the Revivalists will take the stage. It's going to be they're going to blow it out. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, and with that Mardi Gras player parade, of course, we've got a bunch of Reese's Cups that'll be around, but also Moon Pies. Got to keep some of those big guys off the Moon Pies. I'm sure their agents are telling them that as they get ready to play. You've added so many other things to the Senior Bowl, and one of the really cool things, this is the second year in a row that you've done this, the Future Senior Bowl Prospect Team, and take high schoolers from our area and add them to the Future Senior Bowl team, and you guys added that to the Twitter feed this week.
Yeah, just to recognize the local high school kids, and really when I took this job, whatever it was, 18, 20 months ago, really wanted to connect with the local high school coaches, so we made a real effort there. We had a presence at a high school game every weekend for the past 2 years, just showing our appreciation for what they do at that level, really developing the players. We would set up a tent, like a 10-foot by 10-foot tent. We'd have a bunch of Senior Bowl footballs for the little boys and pom-poms for the little girls, just try to, at a grassroots level, try to spread the good word of our game. And to end it with these guys, the Future Prospect Team is guys that have all been offered FBS, which is the highest level of college football. They've been offered FBS scholarships. So to have 19, I think we were at 19 or 20 players this year from the two-county area, just shows, you know, how good the high school football is down here. Just want to recognize those young men, and we will we'll do that on the field at our game as well.
Now, I'm certain some of them we'll see in the Senior Bowl in about 4 years or so. But you got some outstanding senior quarterbacks this year that are gearing up to play in some bowl games and the college football playoff. Of course, the first two that come to mind are LSU's Joe Burrow and Oklahoma's Jalen Hurts. I know you still have some open roster spots for this year's Senior Bowl. Any chance we see a couple more of these big names sign on?
Yeah, we sure hope so. Dalton. You know, I've spoken to Joe Burrow's dad. I've spoken to Justin Herbert, Morgan's dad. I've talked to Jalen Hurts' dad a couple different times. And, you know, they're in a different position with at the quarterback position. It's just a little different. You know, they don't want to do anything that's going to take away from the focus of their teammates and their team. So they really just want to get through these college football playoff games and, in Herbert's case, the Rose Bowl. Before they announce anything. But we feel pretty good about all three of those guys. You know, Burrow's probably going to be the hardest one because right now he's a lot of people think he's the unquestioned number one pick in the NFL draft. So that might be the most difficult. We're really excited about Jalen Hurts. You know, I feel pretty good about him coming down here. Had some really good talks with his dad. And to get Jalen back down to play his last college football game in the state of Alabama would be pretty awesome. I know that the turnout at Ladd Stadium is going to be incredible when we get him down to Mobile.
Yeah, Hurts would get a huge ovation, I'm sure, in the player introductions before the game. But it's always the Auburn players and the Alabama players that have the most fans. And for Auburn, you had Marlon Davidson, the defensive end, and Prince Tega Wanogho, the offensive tackle. They signed on relatively early, but you had some Bama players sign on here over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, the two Auburn guys committed right out of the gate, and we did our Senior Bowl roster reveal show on NFL.com's digital platform this week, and we actually had Marlon on with it in an interview, and he was awesome. I can't wait to get him from Mobile. He has such good energy about him. But yeah, the Alabama kids, it took a little longer just because with Terrell Lewis is the most recent one, and he's a junior, so we had to wait it out to see if he was going to graduate or not, because that's the only stipulation for those juniors is if they have their diploma. So we had to wait that out, but we're really excited about Terrell. He's for the NFL teams are probably going to have to sort through some medical injury stuff, before the draft on Terrell. But if you're just grading the talent of the player, he's a clear first-round pick, probably a top half of the first-round pick. So to get him down here with Raekwon Davis, who's probably in a similar boat, probably a late first-round pick right now, and then Anfernee Jennings, who had another great year for them, and Jim Maiden. So, right now between the two schools, we have six really good players. None of these are charity invites. None of these guys are coming because of the logo on their helmet. They're mm-hmm. coming because they're really good players.
Yeah, they certainly earned those invites. And speaking of Terrell Lewis and also his teammate, Trevon Diggs, they announced this week they're sitting out the Citrus Bowl. And they're not the only ones in the league. I mean, you've also got Cam Akers at Florida State, Trey Adams at Washington, who's coming down to the Senior Bowl. The list seems to grow every year. Jim, what's your opinion on players kind of taking it safe and sitting out these final bowl games?
Yeah, it's a good question, Dalton. I get asked it a lot. I don't want it to sound self-serving, but, I'm a guy that grew up, just like a lot of people, watching the bowl games with their families, and I've always been a huge fan of the bowl games. But it's just a changed landscape now. There's so much money involved in this for these kids, and I feel like if you're playing for the college football playoff and you're trying to help your team win a championship, that's one thing. I think that if players failed on a college football playoff game, I think the NFL would take a pretty hard stance with that. I think that would rub a lot of NFL guys the wrong way. But if you're just like, I always use the example of last year's Michigan team. They had five or six guys bail on the bowl game, and only one guy actually stayed and played in the Peach Bowl against Florida, and it was Chase Winovich, who ended up going in the third round of the Patriots. And Chase ended up getting hurt in that bowl game and couldn't come to the Senior Bowl. So, he played in his 55th game for Michigan and was pretty a meaningless game. And he really lost the opportunity to come down to Mobile and perform in front of 900 NFL people. So, just from like, I always look at it through, if it were my son or my brother, it's a business decision, and, mm-hmm. and when you get a chance to perform in front of 900 NFL folks that are going to determine your future, it's a big roll of the dice. So I see, I see where fans get rubbed a little wrong by it, but I actually think it's a smart move.
We talked earlier about some of the really good quarterback prospects in this class, and just looking at the rookies in the NFL right now, with Gardner Minshew, Daniel Jones, Drew Lock, and Dwayne Haskins all playing and improving here in their rookie years, what's your take on, it seems like we're in a new era, starting quarterbacks early in their careers as opposed to having them sit and learn behind a vet? What's your take on that?
Yeah, to bring up some of those names you brought up, Dalton, so this week, Will Greer is going to be named, has been named the starter for Carolina, and he'll be the fifth quarterback out of last year's Senior Bowl that's going to get a start so far this year. So that's a pretty cool stat for our game, that we had five guys get a start. But, you know, yeah, I think teams are first of all, I think quarterbacks are coming out of college more prepared than they've ever been. You know, just the passing game is so much more sophisticated in college than it's been, you know, in previous decades. So these guys are ready. And I think a lot of these teams are you know, when they draft them, it used to be the plan to sit guys and have them carry a clipboard for a couple of years. But now when teams draft these guys, they have the mindset that they're going to get them on the field quickly. So it's just, you know, it's totally a shift. It's a shift in the NFL's thinking on the position. Just get them early, get them reps, and the only way they can get better is being on the field.
Yeah, and while we have you on, I wanted to get a couple questions for you about some of these NFL legends. You know, every year it seems like Tom Brady and the Patriots' reign is declared dead. And so far this year, he's been lacking some of his weapons on offense and seems to have lost a step. But it always seems like Belichick and the rest of the team figure it out and make a run through January. So, Jim, do you think that the Patriots' dynasty is over?
Absolutely not. No way. You know, I spent 8 years in New England with that group of guys, and mainly Bill and Tom are like about the only ones left from when I was there. But I would never count those two guys out. You know, Bill's way too smart, and Tom's way too good. You know, last year teams were, you know, you look at last season, and there was a little stretch during last season where this same narrative was out there, and, mm-hmm. and look what they did. They went on and won the Super Bowl. So. Yeah, Tom's worked through some growing pains with a bunch of young skill players this year, but I still think they've got some good years. And I think that, you know, this January, aside from the Ravens, they're the team to beat in the AFC. I think the Ravens are the team to beat, but I think New England's number two.
And second, it was really cool seeing Drew Brees this last Monday night set the NFL record for career touchdown passes, and looks like he'll battle that out with Brady until one or both of them eventually retire. First off, Brees has to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, right?
Oh, absolutely. Total lock first ballot guy.
And how long could these two play? I mean, they're both in their 40s now. They might not be as athletic as they were when they started, but it's all about the smarts now at this level.
Well, the great thing is neither of them were very athletic to start with, so they've never they didn't have to adapt their game very much. But you know, Drew's remarkable because, you know, talked about maybe Tom slipping a little bit this year. When I was with the Seahawks a few years back, we played the Saints over in New Orleans, and I went over to the game and was watching Drew warm up, and then stayed on the field to watch the game. And I really thought Drew was getting close to being done. His arm didn't look like it had any life left in it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if he was battling a shoulder injury or an arm injury at that time, but he was really struggling driving the football that day. So I thought Drew was, and this was 5 years ago, I thought Drew was getting close to the end. So to see at the level he's played at for like the last 2 or 3 years and sustained, it's incredible. Those two guys are, I mean, it's truly remarkable what they're getting done at their age.
It really is, and hopefully we get to watch both of them for a few more games this year as they enter the playoffs and check out maybe some future Drew Breeses and Tom Brady's in the Senior Bowl this year, January 25th at Ladd Peoples Stadium, and you can get your tickets now. Jim, we really appreciate you coming on with us for Football Fridays.
Yeah, no, it's great, guys. Thanks for having me on, and Merry Christmas. And yeah, get those Senior Bowl tickets. I'm always the guy that can't find stocking stuffers. You know, I like to sneak something in after Santa comes. So Senior Bowl tickets is the best thing you can do. So come on, dude. Get on SeniorBowl.com, get your tickets, and Merry Christmas to everyone.
Hey, Merry Christmas, Jim.
He's making a list. Right, the 20 FM Talk 106.5 at Mobile Boardings. The smell in this studio.
I'm telling you.
We'll explain the smell in the studio in just a second. It's not a good thing.
It's not me.
No, it's neither of us, but wow. All right. Be right back.
You've been bad or good, so be good for goodness sake. You better watch out. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is coming to town. See?
Is there?
Sure, I don't know.
We've had a dusting of snow in Alabama, though, Randy. By the way, have you? Welcome back. Mobile Mornings on FM Talk 106.5. It is Christmas in Dixie. You ever met Randy Owen?
I have not had the pleasure to meet Randy Owen.
Wonked up. Randy Owen is, height-wise, he could have played D1 basketball.
Really?
I don't know what his actual height is. I'm sure there'll be some, somebody can let me know. But I'm 5'10 on a good day. So it's not like I'm looking at, but I remember meeting him and I went, whoa, you're a tall dude. It's probably going to turn out that he's like 6 feet tall.
He is 6 foot tall.
Yeah, he's taller than that. Yeah, maybe he had lifts on or something. We met him at an event. I remember I was like, man, you're taller than I thought. Usually the people in the music world aren't, super tall, kind of, but he was.
Yeah, he's made some hits, though.
Yes. No, he's, that thing, that's wrong. That's wrong. That's fake news. I'm telling you, I've got this
Kenny
memory.
Kenny Chesney's 5'6".
Little Kenny?
Little Kenny.
little Kenny Chesney. All right, 827 FM Talk 106.5. It is the countdown to Christmas, and if you're thinking about some last-minute shopping, why not get something great for your people on your list? Maybe it could be yourself. Maybe it could be family members who might invite you over for dinner. Listen, whomever you choose, think about Omaha Steaks. We're an Omaha Steaks family. We love to give Omaha Steaks, and we love to receive Omaha Steaks. And right now, Omaha Steaks is sharing an amazing limited-time offer with y'all. And there's still time to place your order for the holidays. Go to omahasteaks.com and enter the code Sullivan in the search bar to order the favorite gift package, the gift everyone will love, for only $69.99. Here's what you get. 4 6-ounce bacon-wrapped filet mignon, 4 premium pork chops, 4 Omaha Steak burgers, 4 potatoes au gratin, 4 caramel apple tartlets, an Omaha Steaks signature seasoning packet, plus for y'all, a free 6-piece cutlery set and a cutting board. Get all the delicious food, plus the free cutlery set they'll enjoy for years to come for only $69.99. Omaha Steaks are the most tender, the most flavorful, and you can only get steaks of this quality from Omaha Steaks, America's original butcher. And don't wait. I mean, like, seriously, don't wait, y'all. If you want to take advantage of this offer and get your gift there before the holidays are over, go to omahasteaks.com, type Sullivan into the search bar, and order the gift everyone will love. Order the favorite gift package today. Check out omahasteaks.com. Just use my code Sullivan. All right. We should have, is Danny, if Danny's listening, Danny Lipford, because he'll have, several times a year and different things he's doing in his, tips for today's homeowner that come up on this radio station. He'll talk about, not running generators inside.
Yes, he will.
But it's not just generators. We should put in that don't run any kind of gas-powered equipment. Mm-hmm. If y'all didn't realize this, everybody's going, what is he talking about? I know y'all know. But don't run gas-powered. I'm going to say this very loudly. Maybe they'll hear me down the hall. Don't run gas-powered equipment inside a building.
Mm-hmm. Well, they'd have to not be running a saw for you to hear them.
Okay, yes, you would have to be. We have more. It's like being in a closed barn with a tractor running. it's that smell. Y'all know what that's like. Or a car inside a garage with the door closed. That's what it's like in here. They were running some piece of. So we're here at Airport and 65 in this building, and we've got new neighbors coming in across the lobby from us. Cool. Mm-hmm. Welcome.
Yeah, can't wait to meet them.
But they're doing something here in construction that involved opening up of some kind of gas-powered equipment inside the building. So we are...
It's pretty dank with fumes in here.
Wow.
And, we started smelling it before the 8 o'clock hour.
I said,
both
yeah,
of us.
Like we thought smelling gasoline. Or,
yeah, walked outside, thought maybe a truck had driven by, and the exhaust had seeped through, and didn't see anything, and then walked out, and then I see the saw and fuel on the ground, and I'm like, that's it right there.
So we're working through that this morning. And by the way, too, breaking news this morning, police presence on Marcus Drive in Mobile, homicide detectives, SWAT, and canine units on the scene. A homicide detective had confirmed with Fox 10 TV that MPD was currently working a homicide at that location. We'll get more information when we can, but here it is. As we go towards the end of 2019, another homicide, a deadly year in Mobile. Right now, that's all the info we have, but they said they're working a homicide at that location, Marcus Drive in Mobile. Details when we get them, we'll pass those along. We'll check in with news and Dr. Bill's forecast coming up next.
Thank you.
836 FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings. Right now, we head over to McConnell Automotive and talk to Mitch McConnell. Hey, Mitch.
All right, Dalton. Good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning to you. The last weekend to shop before Christmas, and I know you've got some great deals at McConnell.
We really do, man. And I think, Dalton, one of my favorite ideas is there's probably a husband or a wife that knows that they need a vehicle this time of year, but they also hadn't bought a Christmas present yet. And sometimes you can double up and go ahead and get that vehicle. And, Dalton, we've got like $15,000 off some of our vehicles and the biggest discounts. And you and I know our website is super easy to shop. It's McConnellAutomotive.com. And, man, Yukons are 15% off. The new Sierra with that six-function tailgate, 20% off. Some of the vehicles, like the Terrain, Dalton, we even have 25% off. So they're the biggest discounts we've had all 2019, and they're happening, you know, now until the end of the month.
Now you just got to find a tree big enough to park your new vehicle under. We appreciate it, Mitch.
Just like Clark Griswold.
Just like it. That's Mitch McConnell. Go see him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65.
All right, 8:37. Reminder, too, of voting week one in our Alabamian of the Year stakes. Mm-hmm. This is the first round and the fifth day of the first round. And when you go to fmtalk1065.com, there on the front page, you'll see the 1-800-GOT-JUNK logo. And right underneath it, it says 2019 Alabamian of the Year, first round voting. And right underneath it, you find today's selections.
Yeah, so we've got four new selections here. Two will move on into the second round. Your choices to vote from today: Cole Ash, the Finding of the Clotilda, the Mobile City Council Supermajority, and towing companies, all of which have made the news plenty of times this year. And to recap, so far we've had four brackets this week, with two moving on each day. The Anti-Toll Movement, the Lottery, Bruce Pearl, Hoyt Hutchinson, who's the Alabama fan who popped the baby Trump balloon in the Alabama LSU game, Jeff Sessions, CBD, fallen law enforcement officers, and Rod Bramlett. Those have moved into the second round, and we will vote on those second round contestants on Monday.
All right, and the other story, you heard it throughout this morning. I think they started reporting on it last night, that this evangelical magazine has an op-ed in it, this editorial calling for removal of President Trump from office. Now, this is the story that's kind of just developing as we go along here, but it's a, what is it, Christianity Today.
Mm-hmm.
The editor published a op-ed calling for President Trump to be removed from office on this. Now, you've heard the discussion here on whether this is really the go-to read for evangelical Christians. Some comment on that. Congressman Barry Loudermilk, a Republican from Georgia, had this to say.
I mean, I don't take it all that seriously. I'm not quite sure he was equating President Trump with Jesus Christ. He was trying to equate, he was using that as an example of what he considers to be an unjust trial. I take such political rhetoric with a grain of salt, and I'm not going to hold him to the fact that he actually thinks Donald Trump is the equivalent of Jesus Christ. That I think upon questioning, he would think that's absurd.
All right. The editor-in-chief, Mark Gonley, wrote in the op-ed that President Trump should be removed. He said, "We believe it's not a matter of partisan loyalties, but loyalty to the creator of the Ten Commandments. We believe the impeachment hearings have made it absolutely clear, in a way the Mueller investigation did not, that President Trump has abused his authority for personal gain and betrayed his constitutional oath. The impeachment hearings have illuminated the president's moral deficiencies for all of us to see. None of the president's positives can balance the moral and political danger we face under a leader of such grossly immoral character." End quote. A little bit from that op-ed.
And the president responding to that op-ed this morning on Twitter, he said, "A far-left magazine, or very progressive, as some would call it, which has been doing poorly and hasn't been involved with the Billy Graham family for many years. Christianity Today knows nothing about reading a perfect transcript of a routine phone call and would rather have a radical left non-believer who wants to take your religion and your guns than Donald Trump as your president." And then he says, "No president has done more for the evangelical community, and it's not even close. You'll not get anything from those Dems on stage. I won't be reading E.T. again." So I don't know if he confused it with Evangelical Today
versus
Christianity Today. So, but that's the response from the president.
Okay, so one publication, an op-ed, said that. And listen, it is the man bites dog. The reason this is getting traction, number one, yeah, sure, the bent against President Trump, but it's the man bite dog. It's the different story. It's one that goes back, though. I was talking about this way back with Cliff Sims right? When he had Yellowhammer before, you know, when we it was 2016 in the presidential cycle, and he's pretty staunch evangelical, and asking him how he squared with it. And I've talked to a lot of people who are evangelicals. They say, listen, this person, you know, is defending what we consider important, right? These social issues they consider important. And so saying that, you know, where would you be better off? I guess from an evangelical standpoint, would you have Hillary Clinton in office, who was going to, you know, on most social issues be contrary to what evangelicals think,
mm-hmm.
and you want to question moral compass on Hillary Clinton as well, versus President Trump, who I think there's very easily, and if you are a fair arbiter, not exactly in his past has been a paragon of virtue, right?
Right.
But his policies absolutely are right in line with what evangelicals find important. So it's interesting that the this is the one, I think this gets traction because this is the one editorial that's saying something different from the others. Understand, that's why things get attention. That's what makes news, the thing that is different. The thing that is the same is just the same. It's not news. The thing is different. Now, people are trying to say the cliched word of 2019, weaponize this, to use this as acting like there's evangelicals everywhere that want President Trump removed from office. I think that it couldn't be farther from the truth.
Yeah, and when else would Christianity today be a trending topic online?
Exactly.
I haven't seen it before, not until today with this op-ed. So maybe a smart marketing move, or maybe a really bad marketing move for the magazine, if that's what the editorialist or the editor here was putting out. But you're right. It's what if you're a Christian and you're voting in the election, what do you care more for? The end result, what you want your politician, what you want your president to do for you while they're in office, or the moral score, right? And you know, and Christians are known, you know, you hear it in church every Sunday, you can be forgiven for things you've done in the past. And I don't know, Trump, has he, can we really hang some of this stuff over his head that he did years ago?
I don't know, like I said, to me it's a question people have to answer individually. And so I'm not here to say what everybody thinks. I'm saying that the reason this Christianity Today editorial got attention is it differs from the mainstream of evangelicals. That's why. And the argument is there's not really an evangelical publication, all that. Listen, I can't. There'll be plenty of people get on the radio and tell you they know what it is. Since I'm not a reader of Christianity Today, I don't know. I could take what people are telling me and what spin is put on it, but I don't know it for a fact.
And what adds to it, I guess, the association with the Graham family, and we know that Trump has been associated with the Graham family, especially during his campaign run and since he's been president. So that adds kind of another twist to it there.
All right, let's go to the phones at 343-0106, 343-0106, and Clifford is up first. Hey, Cliff.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm a fellow that's probably, my IQ is about the size of a large baseball cap.
Okay.
But as a Christian, I can see where this guy is being persecuted for a whole lot of stuff that he hasn't done. When you're starting to call this man Stalin and Hitler and all of these things, you are giving him more credit than Satan. Satan should be the one that's being mad. He should be jealous.
So,
because they're putting him out to be Satan.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
I could be stupid and not believe part of this stuff that's going on. And for a Christian not to be able to see it, what's true and what's not true, that's a sad thing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, once again, people need to understand this story gets traction because this is not what the bulk of evangelicals think. That's why I hope, I mean, they try to spin the story like, oh, everything has changed, you know, the people have turned their opinion around. Now, this has gotten attention because it is a minority view, I think, of evangelicals that anything that was espoused in that editorial.
Hey, man, the truth is the truth. We're not concerned with anything, not spin. We're concerned with truth. And if we don't know the truth, we should shut up. But in this case, I still say Satan should be jealous.
There you go. Clifford, appreciate the call. Merry Christmas to you. I think one of the things will come up here. So if I'm looking at this from the other side, the way I go after evangelicals on this is I'll say y'all are hypocritical. Y'all are hypocritical because you've gone after the moral compass of all these other people mm-hmm. in politics, and now you give this one a pass. But you could also look at it, I'd say, pragmatically for evangelicals. Were those people that they went after on their moral compass in a given day, maybe in the past, but they were doing things presently that they judged? And listen, I'll hold my opinion on that. I won't. I think people waste a lot of time passing their own personal, you know, moral code on to everybody else around them. But those people that impugned past presidents or elected officials over moral code also probably weren't going after somebody that espoused beliefs and worked for policies that benefited them.
Mm-hmm. Well, when was the last time you saw anyone on either debate stage get up there and just be as pro-Christian as you can be? Yeah. And until Trump,
expect people to do?
Yeah, you know? Until Trump got up there and was talking about bringing the word Christmas back and, you know, being anti-abortion. I mean, of course, the Republican Party's been anti-abortion, but Trump seemed to...
Being vocal about it.
He was more vocal about the issues that matter to today's Christians. And regardless of his past, when you vote for someone, you know, you don't have very many options, really. And if you want to be a good American, get up there and vote, you have to make a decision, right?
That's it. And so what are your options there on that? I mean, it's easy. There's some low-hanging fruit to go after, the hypocrisy. But if you look at it a little bit deeper, yeah, maybe not. I don't know. We'll hear from you at 343-0106, 343-0106. Coming right back, more of Mobile Mornings. All right, 852 FM Talk 106.5 Mobile Mornings. Just a public safety message here. This is really more for y'all to help us. If at any point over the next 8 minutes it gets quiet and nothing happens here, please send in somebody to rescue us, because the amount of carbon monoxide here in the studio is probably fairly high. With exhaust coming from a piece of equipment, running a gas-powered piece of equipment here in our building as they're doing a remodel. We're looking at each other going, I'm getting a little sleepy. It's just stay awake. Okay. Stay awake, my friend.
Need to chew on some ice or something.
Also, we're watching this breaking news this morning. Here's what we know. Police presence at Marcus Drive in Mobile. Homicide detectives, SWAT, and canine units were on the scene. I don't know if that's still the situation. I know there's a large law enforcement contingent there. It says MPD is working a homicide at that location. That's all I have right now. We'll get you more on that as that news becomes available. All right, to the phones at 343-0106. And Angela in Mobile is first up. Hey, Angela.
Oh, good morning.
Morning.
I was listening to y'all. I was talking about the letter that was,
op-ed that came out in the Christianity Today.
Yeah, reading it, I didn't read the whole letter, but I read listening to it on the news, listening to y'all discuss it. It's interesting. I never knew. It's good that someone came out to make a complaint about Trump's behavior. And I'm not talking about past behavior. I'm even talking about behavior that he displays right now. You know, he's so mean, cruel. And so I think it doesn't hurt for evangelicals, white evangelicals in particular, to really just keep in mind that Trump isn't acting Christian-like at all. And the excuses that people make from him, I don't know. I'm just like, it's almost like... you lose your moral compass a little bit. And like I say, you know, Christians ask for forgiveness and, you know, all that, but mm-hmm. Trump doesn't ask for forgiveness. And he keeps on being mean and saying mean things and dividing the country, and I
hear you, but the division is seated on both sides, Democrats and Republicans. I would say, what would you tell somebody who supports the president, who's an evangelical, who may not be, you know, all smiles when they hear, you know, the president say this, that, or the other? Some people love it, you know, some people don't. But what would you tell them? Because what option? Let's look at the Democrats and see where they stand right now on issues that are very important to social conservatives and Christians. Like, what would their best option be, other than saying, you know, Mike Pence becomes president?
I guess the best option would be White Pence being president. But at the same time, I think I see where their issues are. But, I don't know. At the same token, we just can't think that Trump's behavior is good. There's going to have to be some kind of way, if you want to really call yourself Christian, to just sit back, think about what Jesus would do, and some of the stuff that Trump is doing is still doing is something that Jesus wouldn't do. And I thought that's what Christians about, you know, try to do, you know, to be Christ-like. And
can you be, okay, I get a great question here. This is like a rhetorical kind of thing. Can someone be as much Christ-like as humans can be, which is, you know,
yeah.
As much as a human being could be Christ-like, could they do that and win the office of the president and hold it and drain the swamp and all these things that Americans wanted done?
At the same token, you're going to lose other stuff too. I mean, for one thing, you're not conservative anymore because Trump's there. Trump is not conservative.
A populist, yeah.
He's a populist. He's not conservative. So that's gone out of the Republican Party. The moral compass, you know, used to call yourself family values. You can't even say that anymore. Republicans can't really say that.
Why can't they say it?
Well, Trump is their leader, and he's abandoned two families, and he's an adulterer. And I'm just saying. And
but
he
is he not forgiven?
Asked for forgiveness for that. So, I mean, that's gone. I mean, Republicans can't even say their family values. I can't even let my children listen to Trump. You know, because of some of the mean things he said, and I don't want my children thinking it's okay to be a bully and be mean. So it is I understand you're at a hard place, but you got to kind of decide what's going to be your moral compass. I guess the president shouldn't be your moral compass. He's not your preacher, but nevertheless,
he's your president.
I do see a lot of people like, God, almost aren't in Trump more than they do Jesus. It's really, really scary.
All right, Angela, I appreciate your call. I got to let one on here before we finish up. We only have about 35 seconds, and our buddy Buck wants to respond. You got to do a fast version of it.
Yes, sir. So I noticed that she said Trump, and she said the Republicans. So is her moral compass allow her to follow the Democrats, who are not pro-life, who support abortion? I didn't vote for a preacher, and I'm very appreciative of the job that Trump is doing, fighting for the American people.
There we go. Appreciate the call, Buck. Thank you. We got to run. We're up against the hour. End of the hour. Come back at noon today for Midday Mobile. Maybe this is one of the questions y'all can call back in. Angela, I appreciate your call, too, because Congressman Bradley Byrne will be in with us starting at noon today, of course, candidate for Senate. And maybe we'll ask more about that coming up starting at 12 o'clock today.
Yeah, looking forward to it.
All right, Mike Gallagher Show on the way next.
Get that Christmas shopping in.
Oh, yeah, there's that. Yeah, I got to go shop. What do they have at the convenience store? You like those the big Slim Jims?
Yeah.
The giant, that's probably what you're getting.